This, of course, is the first interview, a live interview that's going to be on the seedsoffaith.com. And for the folks that are listening, I first met Reverend Scholler about 3 years ago at a group reading, and that was about the same time that I finally gave in and accepted the fact that there is more to our lives here and after death than we know. Now, you know what's funny, Richard, is that I'm not sure if you remember Ingrid and Jim.
I remember all six of us.
Okay.
Seven of us sitting there, yeah.
What's pretty interesting is that they joke around with Rose and myself that we're not allowed to attend a gathering if you're there because they call us the spirit hogs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and especially
Rose.
That's pretty amusing.
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, it was about our first meeting that I was really impressed by you, Richard, and I found you to be as genuine as they come. My wife and I, you know, we've personally witnessed you in action during several of your Sunday morning services, and we were definitely impressed. I'm floored in some cases. My wife has went home saying, "Oh my God," many, many times. Now you, of course, you're a driving and powerful force that leads a growing congregation here on Long Island. Yet, I also find you to be a humble soul because, again, I met you many times. I've watched you in action. I feel it within me every time I'm with you. Now, your ability to communicate with spirit and your dedication to spiritualism has set you aside from others. Now, this is all in my eyes. And those others, you're welcome. And those others that I speak about, you know, they have similar talents, but I have seen many that are not humble. They get a little beside themselves sometimes, and this is not what this is about, of course. Now, when I decided, like I mentioned, to publish The Seeds of Faith, one of the first people were you, of course, and that's because of who you are and the impression that you've given me. Now, I have just a couple of questions. Now, of course, I want to thank you for taking the time to share with us your time, because I know you're a busy person. And
well, it's my pleasure.
And I of course, I like I said, I'd like to keep it as simple as possible, respecting your time. Now, my first question is, and I've always wondered this, did you grow up in a spiritual family?
Well, you say a spiritual family. I grew up, I'm one of three children. I have two older sisters, then myself as the youngest. With my mother and father. My mother and father raised us Roman Catholic. I received all of the sacraments in the Catholic Church, and even went so far as considering the priesthood when I was in college.
Interesting.
But had decided that I wasn't meant to be a priest in the Roman Catholic religion, so I had abandoned that thought. So did we grow up in a spiritual family? I grew up with a sense of religion. Let me say it that way.
That's wonderful to hear and very encouraging. Now, when in your life did you discover that you were a little bit different from all of your friends and your family?
Oh, Cesar, what a great question. Ever since I was little, I always felt slightly different. I don't think that's uncommon. I think all of us grow up feeling just a little bit different than our family.
True.
I tell the story that my father's mother, my grandmother, I knew all of my grandparents very well. I had wonderful relationships with them growing up. My father's mother used to say to me that I was special. And I always thought every grandmother told their grandchildren that. But when I became aware of my ability as a medium, I then felt that's what she was talking about. And even my dad one day asked me, he said, "Do you think it runs in the family?" And I looked at him, I said, "If anyone had the ability before me, it would have been your mother." And then he confirmed for me that she had a very strong intuition that she would say things before they would happen, but he would never term it mediumship.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. A lot of them didn't understand, just like myself in the early days. To this day, there are things that I still don't understand, and I'm growing as the days go by. Now,
right.
Now, my next question, how did being able to communicate with spirit affect your life with your, well, we know your family already, you just told us, but what about your friends? What did they think of you?
Well, I'm going to back up just a slight bit, because although I've mentioned my family, I want to give you a sense that my parents, I opened to my ability as a medium in 1997.
Oh, okay.
So I was 33. I didn't tell my parents for 2 years.
Wow.
For fear that they would think I'm crazy. I did tell them, and...
I got to tell you, you just answered my next question, but go on.
Oh, okay. I did tell them. One day my mother asked me, she said, what's happening? You've been acting strange when you come over. And I explained to her that I was seeing people on the spirit side of life, and she looked at me and she said, I don't believe you. She said, prove it to me. So briefly, I shared with her about one of her aunts who had passed, and I gave my mother some very clear information that only my mother had known. She sat down pretty surprised.
Uh-huh.
And then my father was standing there, and he similarly was pretty amazed. He said, I don't know if I believe this. Tell me about someone in my family. So I described his aunt, big German woman who had died before I was born. And I shared with him a story that touched him deeply. He started crying. He said, I never told you that story. He said, the only way you would have known that if someone was telling you right now.
Wow.
So my parents have since, they've adjusted to my, they believe in me. My sisters feel differently. The three of us agree that we won't agree on our beliefs in God.
My mom is like that.
Your mom's like that
also?
Yes.
My sister, yeah. Of course, she's a believer like us, but my mom is a bit different.
Okay. Yeah, my sisters both feel differently, and we have great relationship, and we laugh, and we joke, etc., but we're clear that we won't agree on God. Now, the original question, though, you asked me was about my friends.
Yes.
Most all of my friends have just said, oh, there you go, there's Richard, no surprise. Because
uh-huh.
They've known me, a lot of my friends have known me for a long time. Some of my friends, some of the newer friends, sometimes, how do I say it? Sometimes I surprise them with things. But I've never had anyone running away screaming from me, let me say it that way.
Well, I guess that's a good thing. It definitely
yeah,
is.
I think it's pretty good.
All right, so what gave you the courage to make the decision to openly tell others that you are a medium and that communicating with the spirit world is normal for people like yourself?
What gave me the courage? Cesar, I grew up that there was always something inside of me. There's a light inside of all of us.
But was there fear of telling others? Wondering that, I know your friends, you said you grew up with them, but did they wonder, if you were afraid to tell somebody because you may be put as an outcast?
I think that's part of the human experience. I think we all have something that we're afraid to share, or we have our own fears around how we're going to be received by our friends. But I've grown up, and I'm an adult, but I've grown up always believing that people will either accept me or not accept me. And I can't let that stop me from being who I am.
I agree with you.
So
very good.
I would take a deep breath in and I would share it with people. And if any of my friends or any of my relatives feel uncomfortable with it, I deal with the feelings that I have around feeling heard or not being heard, but I deal with that for myself, but I don't stop me from being me for anybody.
That's good. Yeah, I actually am the same way. Now, I'm going to change it just a little bit. Now,
please.
When did you decide it was time to take spiritualism in your life one step further and become a minister?
So, I'll bring that together for you. When I mentioned that I was considering becoming a priest. I was in church when I was in college one day, and I was asking for some sort of sign or some sense of, is that the right thing? Should I leave college and go into the priesthood? And I got a clear answer from myself that was no. You know, I can't become a priest. And I vowed, I promised, I said to God I would serve God someday. So I, later in life, when I opened to my mediumship, I was led to a spiritualist church. A friend of mine had seen a woman who was a healer, and she started picking up on me in the session. She mentioned to him that I needed to go to a spiritualist church. When I walked into the spiritualist church, I immediately felt like I'd found home. And when I walked into the spiritualist church, I took a breath in and released it and said, now I know where I can serve God.
Wow, you know, that's interesting, because I, like yourself, grew up as a Catholic. And for years, I've been searching, and when Rose brought me over to Reverend Berg's church, I was pretty much in awe. I said, I am home. And that's when I started discovering. That was a little over 3 years ago. But now I understand. Now, here's my next question. And this is something that has been brought up to me for myself, and I know I won't do it, is what prompted you to start your own church?
Well, I had been at the Temple of Metaphysical Science in Patchogue for quite a while, and I was clear that after I'd become ordained, for me, I wanted something more than was being offered where I was. And I had the opportunity of either pastoring a spiritualist church in Connecticut or staying here. And I sat, I meditated with it, and I had people here on Long Island who were behind me, who said, if you stay and you do something, we'll do it with you. So I looked at my life, and I went inward and went into a place of meditation and said, what next? What do I do? And what I felt was that I could create something that I wanted as far as a spiritualist church, rather than trying to fit into an existing spiritualist church.
Isn't it interesting how we all get our messages differently?
Yes.
My friends that pretty much introduced me to spiritualism, including my sister, have been prompting me to do the same, because I have a following. People believe in spiritualism, but I know that my talent is a little different. I can spread the word a little further by, of course, theseedsoffaith.com. And this was the same thing. I meditated one day, and it said, do it. And interesting enough, my first issue was written at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. It was the second Sunday. And I wrote it that morning, and it was published by 11 o'clock that morning, and I was told I had to do it every second Sunday. And of course, like I said, I pushed this on the side because I wanted you to be in it. So yes, we all get our paths given to us at different times. Now, what other talents do you possess besides being a minister and a medium? They're always interesting.
You mean aside from my good looks? I'm kidding. Cesar, if you could see me right now, I'm red. What other talents do I possess? I'm a heck of a ballroom dancer.
Oh, okay.
I took a couple of years of ballroom dance and went into competitive ballroom dance and have had a lot of fun with that.
Really? My wife has been trying to get me to do that also, and I've actually agreed, but there's so much going on in my life that we've put it off for a little while. Now, you do own a business, don't you?
I have a practice, yes.
Okay,
I have
a practice
in Huntington Village. I see people in my office for a number of different things. I have a practice that I'm a massage therapist. I also see people privately for readings for mediumship, and I also do energy work.
Oh, okay.
So My office in Huntington is where I see people for healing work.
Okay, that's terrific. Yeah, now,
it is. It's pretty wonderful.
Well, I know the ministry doesn't pay, and that's the thing. The same thing with this. This does not pay.
Right. The one thing I want to speak to, even saying that, progressively, the people with our church, they've afforded me a stipend and a weekly, call it honorarium. So the spiritualist church that I belong to thinks progressively. It's not a full-time salary, but it's they have the right mindset where they're trying to take care of them, you know, giving the minister something as a way of acknowledging the hard work that we put in. But you are correct, the spiritualist ministry itself, not all ministers are paid for their services, and it's not a full-time salary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know that, and I chose the same path as you, not to get paid for what I do, just to give. It comes from the heart. Now, I also know that you hold weekly classes to help others unlock and discover what their hidden potential could be within them. Tell us a little about that.
Okay. I hold an unfoldment class for the members of the church, and we hold it in 10-week cycles. What I do is I will sit with them and lead them through a meditation, usually as a way of helping them to let go of the day and become a little more aware of where they are in the moment. Also trying to help them to connect with the source, infinite or spirit, infinite intelligence or spirit. And then we go through a circle where we sit for spirit messages, and as they become aware, I try to help them to fine-tune what they're picking up on. I also, during the class, have a bit of information that I share with people prior to the meditation and the circle, just to give them a background about mediumship, either mental or physical mediumship.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, what advice would you give someone who was looking into spiritualism for the first time, and what advice would you give someone who already is familiar but wanted to advance? So you got a two-part question, so...
Okay, so let's start with part one again. What advice would I give someone looking into spiritualism?
Uh-huh.
Just the religion of spiritualism.
Right, for the very first time, it's just like...
Okay.
Take, for instance, myself, when I was first introduced into spiritualism, I really had no clue what it was all about. Even though all my life, I have been given messages, but someone told me one time, I am missing the picture.
Right.
So
someone coming to spiritualism for the first time, the advice I would give them if they were attending a spiritualist service or church, I would tell anybody that's attending any type of service, it would be, if it doesn't resonate with you, if it doesn't feel right, trust your instinct. And if it feels right, trust that too. When you're coming to a spiritualist service, like you said a few minutes ago, you walked in and you felt like you were at home. I had a similar experience. I walked in the first time and I felt like I was at home. In that way, I knew it was right for me. The second thing I would encourage people if they were coming to a spiritualist service with regards to the message portion, if someone's giving you a message, if it resonates with you, definitely take it with you, think about it, learn from it, grow from it. And if the message that you're receiving doesn't resonate with you, then don't take it on psychically. So that would be just one thing I might add or share with someone who is coming in for the first time. Now, what was the second part of the question?
The second part is someone who is already familiar with spiritualism but wanted to, like yourself, take the extra step, not so much to become a minister, but to become a bit more involved, and they wanted to advance themselves.
Advance themselves now how, Cesar?
Well,
are you talking within the church as far as helping serve the church, or are you talking as far as advancing themselves with their mediumship?
Well, both, because some people do or have the talent of healing, mediumship.
Right.
Reiki, it goes on and on. So if they don't know where they belong, but they know that, well, not where they belong, they know where they belong, but what they should be doing how can they find their niche, so to speak?
Okay. So if you were coming to me and you wanted to find your niche within the church, the first thing I would put back to you as a question would be, well, what do you feel called to do? And if you said to me, Richard, I feel like the best thing I can offer is my healing, then I would direct you in how you would get involved in the healing aspect of the church service. If you said, I think the best thing I could do is open the door and set up the chairs, then I would want to encourage you to do that. So whatever you're devoting or whatever you want to do to devote to the church, it behooves you as the person coming to say, hey, I want to do this. I want to advance myself, or I love so much what I'm experiencing here, I want to give back. So on that level, not speaking to mediumship or healing ability on a deeper level, just on speaking to advancing yourself and serving your church, it would be, let me get up and speak to the minister and say, this is what I want to do. Now, on a level of advancing yourself in your healing ability, whether it be through hands-on healing or your mediumistic ability, same thing. If you came up to me and said, you know, I want to learn more. I want to learn more about my ability as a medium. Then I would say, all right, why don't you come along to the class, sit in the class, and I'd work with you just like I work with everybody else in my best attempt to help people become more aware. And the best thing I can say to this is, I think like all of us, we do our best in trying to help people to understand their abilities. And we can only take you as far as we have been ourselves. And I speak to myself as a teacher.
Well put. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I know you also have a website.
That's correct.
Do you want to share that with us?
I'd be happy to. Thank you for asking. If people want to learn about more about me and or my ability and what I offer, my website is www.sacredmessages.com. So it's sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, messages, MESSAGES.com. And it explains a little bit about my ability as a medium, my philosophy of mediumship and what I offer, and then it gives some basic information about where I am, directions to my office, a little bit about the energy work that I offer, and it has some links to some other websites.
All right, terrific. So they can contact you that way.
That's correct. Thank you, Cesar.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. Now, tell me, what kind of impact would you like to have on people, and what legacy would you like to leave behind?
Wow. Let me say this way. When it comes to impact, if I can help people to understand that life doesn't end, and if I can help people to understand that love, the love that we share with our husbands, our wives, our children, our parents, our grandparents, our siblings, our cousins, the relationships that we've had with these people and the love that we've shared with them does not end. If I can help that, I'll feel I'm doing my job as a human being on this earth. What type of legacy would I like to leave? I really don't have an answer to that. I would like to believe that when I pass from this life, I'd like to be able to look back and say, all right, you did okay. So I think the most important thing for me is to be able to reunite people with those they've loved and to be able to give them some sense of hope and some sense of comfort and some sense of a sense of belief or knowing that life does not end, then I'll feel I've done a good job, Cesar.
Very well put in your closing words, Richard. Reverend Richard Scholler, I thank you again for taking the time. You've touched me once again, and I hope that in the future, not too far out, we can do this once more. I have a long list of people, and maybe once or twice a year, with your permission, I'd like to do this again.
Give me a call again, Cesar. I'd be happy to do it with you.
Thank you again. Ladies and gentlemen, this was Reverend Richard P. Scholler of the Summerlin Church of Light in Hauppauge, New York. Thank you, Richard, for an interesting and entertaining conversation with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sitar. Many blessings to you and your wife and your family.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye now.